It's great to have Emma back with us today. So I'm going to hand over to Emma, and she's going to bring God's word to us this morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning, we're going to do in a slightly different way. And I'm going to need some volunteers. I need 5 volunteers to help me with our Old Testament reading from Jonah. Now, I've had 3 people who've already agreed, so I'm looking around for them. I see Grace and Sophie thinking, is it now? Do I come up now? Yes, please, Grace and Sophie, thank you. Catherine, thank you very much. I'm going to need 2 more people to help tell the story of Jonah. Come on, you know you want to. Should we stare at them and shame them? I mean, Grace and Sophie thought that Martin might want to help, for example. I can see he's keen. Yeah, come on. In fact, Martin, you can be Jonah. Would you like to be Jonah? Yeah, you know you would. And Richard, thank you so much. What a star. Right, give our volunteers a clap, first of all. Yeah. Very simple, guys. I'm going to read the story. It's not the whole of Jonah 1-4. I've cut it down slightly. But we're going to hear the whole story of Jonah. And I'm going to give each of you a character. And when that character does something, you're going to do that action. Is that okay? Yeah? We know they can do it, don't we? They look keen and ready to go. So we have Jonah here. You guys are sailors, okay? But you're also, later on, you're going to be people of Nineveh, right? Okay? Is that okay? Great. We also need the captain. That's you, Catherine. Catherine, you're the captain of the ship, but you're also the king of Nineveh. So you're having a good morning. Very important person. And Richard, you're the big fish. Excellent. Born to be a fish. Okay. If you guys could shuffle this way a little bit, I'm going to stand here at my little lectern that I can see over and read the story. So are we ready? This is Jonah, chapters 1-4, with dramatic assistance. One day the Lord spoke to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. I am aware of how wicked its people are." Jonah, however, set out in the opposite direction. He set out in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship about to go to Spain. Right, so you have the ship up here. So this is your ship. Sailors, you're in the ship. So is the captain. So he's in a ship going to Spain, not to Nineveh. Naughty Jonah. The Lord sent a strong wind on the sea, and the storm was so violent that the ship was in danger of breaking up. Very good. The sailors were terrified and crying out for help. Each one to his own god. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone below and was lying in the ship's hold, sound asleep. The captain found him there and said to him, "What are you doing asleep? Get up and pray to your god for help. Maybe he will feel sorry for us and spare our lives." The sailors said to each other, "Let's draw lots." Do you know how to draw lots? So you've got some lots in your hand, you're drawing them out. There we go. The sailors said, "Let's draw lots and find out who is to blame for getting us into this danger." They did so, and Jonah's name was drawn. So they said to him, "Now then, tell us." Kind of point at him, maybe. "Tell us. What are you doing here?" "I am a Hebrew," Jonah answered. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made land and sea." Jonah went on to tell them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified again. They're terrified. No! And they said to him, "That was an awful thing to do." The sailors asked him, "What should we do to you to stop the storm?" Jonah answered, "Throw me into the sea and it will calm down." Instead, not yet, the sailors tried to get the ship to shore, rowing with all of their might. They're nice sailors, you see. They tried to get the ship to shore, rowing with all their might, but the storm was becoming worse and worse, and they got nowhere. So they cried out to the Lord. Oh Lord, we pray, don't punish us with death for taking this man's life. Then they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea. And it calmed down at once. This made the sailors so afraid of the Lord that they offered a sacrifice and promised to serve him. Maybe look up to God? Yeah, very good. At the Lord's command, a large fish swallowed Jonah. Eventually, it swallowed Jonah. And he was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. But we're going to fast forward a little bit now. From deep inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. In my distress, O Lord, I called to you, and you answered me. From deep inside the world of the dead, I cried for help, and you heard me. I will sing praises to you. Salvation comes from the Lord. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah up on the beach. Once again, the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you. So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh. After walking a whole day, he proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh, that's Grace and Sophie, the people of Nineveh, believed God's message. So they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show they'd repented. So kind of put on sackcloth and look sorry. Maybe get down on your knees. They're very sorry. When the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. He sent out a proclamation to the people of Nineveh. This is an order from the king and his officials. No one is to eat anything. All persons, cattle and sheep, are forbidden to eat or drink. All persons and animals must wear sackcloth. Everyone must pray earnestly to God and must give up their wicked behaviour and evil actions. Perhaps God will change his mind. Perhaps he will stop being angry and we will not die. God saw what they did. He saw that they had given up their wicked behaviour. So he changed his mind and did not punish them as he said he would. Jonah was very angry about this. You're angry. Very good. Good anger. So he prayed, Lord, didn't I say before I left home that this is just what you would do? That's why I did my best to run away to Spain. I knew that you were a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not punish. Now then, Lord, let me die. I'm better off dead than alive. So Jonah went out east of the city and sat down. He made a shelter for himself and sat in its shade, waiting to see what would happen to Nineveh. Then the Lord God made a plant grow up over Jonah to give him some shade so that he would be more comfortable. Jonah was extremely pleased with the plant. But at dawn the next day, at God's command, a worm attacked the plant and it died. Sun had risen, God sent a hot east wind, and Jonah was about to faint from the heat beating down on his head. I am better off dead than alive, he said. But God said to him, what right do you have to be angry about the plant? This plant grew up in one night and disappeared the next. You didn't do anything for it, and you didn't make it grow, yet you feel sorry for it. How much more then should I have pity on Nineveh, that great city? After all, it has more than 120,000 innocent children in it, as well as many animals. Let's give our cast a big round of applause. Well done. Let's pray together before we think some more about the story of Jonah and what it means for us. Lord, thank you for this story that we've heard from the Bible, the story of Jonah. And we pray that you'd show each one of us what you have to say to us through that story this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, a large city in the empire of Assyria. And this is in modern day Iraq. It was a long journey. In fact, you can see the journey on this map. So where the arrowhead is, that's where Nineveh is. And at the other end is the northern kingdom of Israel. Jonah was not happy. God was sending him to his enemies. Can someone please tell us who we've got on the screen here?
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker, and who's the other dude?
Stormtrooper.
It's a stormtrooper, one of the evil kind of. Are they real people but with robot suits on?
Clones.
They're clones. Oh, see, I didn't know that. Right. So we've got Luke Skywalker, who's a Jedi Knight from Star Wars, and we've got one of the evil clones that works for the Emperor. Sending Jonah to Nineveh to help the Ninevites was a bit like sending Luke Skywalker to help the stormtroopers. Who we've got on the next slide? It's Doctor Who. And who are these people? They're Daleks. Okay, fantastic. Sending Jonah to Nineveh is a bit like sending Doctor Who on a mission to save Daleks. And in case you're not obsessed with Doctor Who, Daleks are not nice. I think they're his worst enemies. Any football fans, can you tell me who we've got here in these pictures? We've got Man City on the left and Man United on the right. Sending Jonah to Nineveh is a bit like asking a Man City supporter to help out Man United. As my Uncle Terry would tell me, not going to happen. God sent Jonah to his enemies. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he really didn't want to go. So much so that he ran in the opposite direction. Nineveh was a big city in a big empire, the Empire of Assyria, and Assyria had threatened and attacked Israel in the past. In fact, eventually, the kingdom of Assyria captured the northern kingdom of Israel. They defeated it completely. And the armies of Assyria were known for being cruel. The city of Nineveh was an enemy to Israel. And it should have been God's enemy too. The Ninevites didn't worship the Lord. They worshipped other gods. They didn't follow God's law. The Bible says that they were wicked. Nineveh represented everything that was evil to Israel. Like a Dalek, which doesn't understand mercy and destroys everything in its path. Like a stormtrooper fighting for the evil emperor of the galaxy. Like a Man United supporter. They're on the wrong team. Sorry to any Man United supporters here today. Why would you want to help someone who you hate and fear? Why would you want God to save them? They're not on your side. They're the enemy. Why can't God punish them? How can he want to save them? Well, it turns out that the people of Nineveh were not God's enemies. The Israelites sometimes thought of themselves as above everyone else because they were God's chosen people. But in the story of Jonah, we see that God cares about wicked Nineveh just as much as he cares about his chosen people. And in this story, it's all the people who aren't Israelites, all the people who aren't God's chosen people, who come out looking good. Like the sailors who don't want to throw Jonah overboard, even when he tells them that it's his fault that there's a storm. And when they finally throw him over, they ask for God's forgiveness. And when the sea calms down, they pray to God and they worship God. The Ninevites, the people of Nineveh, also come out looking quite good. They don't worship the Lord, but when Jonah brings a message from him, they immediately listen and they say sorry and they change their behaviour. Whereas Jonah, the prophet of God, runs away from God, he's sleeping when he should be praying, finally he does what he's told, and then he gets angry with God. And God sends us to take his message of love to people who are not like us. There aren't that many Christians in this country, certainly compared to other countries. About 6 to 10% of the people that you meet will be Christians. When you go to school or to work or you go to the shops, most of the people that you meet won't believe the same things that you believe, and they won't do the same things that you do. They won't think twice about shopping on a Sunday. They might say Jesus' name as a swear word. They might think the idea of going to church is a bit weird. They might say that Christians have too many rules. They might not believe in God at all. Now, you probably don't hate them like Jonah hated the Ninevites, at least I hope not. But maybe you feel that they're on the wrong team. Maybe you feel as if they're a Man United supporter and you're Man City. They don't believe the right things. They don't do the right things. They're not one of us. They're not on Team Jesus. God offers everyone a second chance. The story of Jonah shows us that sometimes people who follow God make a right pig's ear of things and need a second chance. Jonah got a second chance to go to Nineveh after he disobeyed God the first time round. God then gave him a third chance when he sat on the hill having a strop. God came to him and talked with him to try and make him understand. The story of Jonah shows us that God cares just as much about people who don't know him as he does about people who do. And he wants them to have a second chance too. The story of Jonah shows us that sometimes people who don't know God take that second chance that he offers them. Sometimes they change their minds and start following him. The people of Nineveh got a second chance to stop being wicked and start following God, and they took it. Everyone needs a second chance, and everyone gets one with God. Let's praise our God of second chances. Should we pray together? Lord, thank you for the story of Jonah that we've heard and we've talked about this morning. Please show us what it is that you want to say to us through this story. In Jesus' name, amen.